John.
Never mind. Welcome back.
Split the double headers has been one of your favorites along your career.
Love split night doublehead, day night doubleheaders. Got here at 8 this morning and probably be leaving here about 10:30 tonight. So, but it's baseball, right? It's part of our gig, and you know, we got a little comfortable last year with the 2-7s. But it's 2-9s, and we'll be here for a while.
Yeah, it was something that when you played never existed, and I never dreamed about the player number 27.
Right.
Now you have number 27. What do you think about this new thing in baseball that you have number 27?
I mean, it provides some help, obviously, on the pitching end when you're playing, you know, two games in one day. You got to cover 18 innings of baseball and then follow up the next day. It can be a wear and tear in our bullpen, and you know, it's obviously a help to have an extra arm in here today.
Paulie, these numbers kind of speak for himself. But what have you liked about him from person and a pitcher standpoint?
I think Paul's done a great job at settling in. You know, the success he's had so far. You know, we're really happy about, obviously. He's taken to a consistent role in the rotation. He's earned this opportunity. And, you know, I'm happy for the person because he's had a grind to get here. And, you know, the trials and tribulations of the last few years when he comes to the big leagues, the expectation level to perform. And now he's performing.
How's Steven doing with the
count? Steven's doing fine. No baseball activity yet. He's feeling better and making progress.
Is there, you had your first doubleheader as a manager. Is there anything you learned or took away from that you could apply today that went right or went wrong?
Well, we split it, so yeah. That was a positive. I think, you know, we had a situation in Detroit, we had two players collide, which you know, could have led to inability to have that second game with a full roster. But fortunately, we dodged that. You know, you kind of just hope to get some innings out of the starters, so you don't have to go into the bullpen. Yet, you know, they're two separate games. I mean, obviously, having the back-to-back doubleheaders is going to be different than having this, you know, split doubleheader where you get a little bit of time, you get a little bit of rest. In Detroit, the grounds crew wasn't even ready for us to start 40 minutes after the game. So, it'll be interesting to see the difference today with the, you know, time in between both games.
Have you ever drawn up a second lineup, or do you wait and see how this game
goes? You have a second lineup prepared, but, you know, ultimately with the way the game is and the injuries that can come from the first game, you hold that and assess it from that point.
Do you think that in the game, because so many pitchers throw 97, 98 now, and it's almost like a normal thing, that in the evolution of a game that things have come back around in the direction of someone like a Blackburn, who mixes it up and changes speeds and has movement, and I know he can get his fastball to 93, but do you think that's part of the evolution of the game?
You know, I think it's too early to assess that. I still see Velo playing here at this level. You know, we see it day in and day out from our opponents. The kid last night hit 98 as a starter with a plus secondary. So I think, you know, pitching is obviously the disruption of timing, and Paul's done a good job at that. Even though the velocity is not there, he's done a good job of disrupting a hitter's timing. I think that's, you know, some of what has led to his success.
I'm sure you have talked a lot to Adam, and you've had, of course, reports what he has been doing in AAA. What do you think are some of the things he has learned in the time that he was down there that probably will help him in this outing?
I think the time that he spent here has helped him there. You know, obviously it's a performance, you know, driven game, and for him to go back and have success, that's good. It's good for him personally, good for us as a club, good for his future. You know, I think prior to this year, he had a total of maybe 340 at-bats above AA. So it's good for him to continue to get these everyday at-bats down there and to have success.
Adam Oliver, man. Adam Oller.
Oh, I thought you said Allen. Oller, yeah. No, for Oller's standpoint, yeah, it was good to see. Last outing, he threw more strikes. And we talked about that when he was here, commanding the baseball in the zone. These big league hitters, very rarely do they swing at something that doesn't start in the zone. They check off early, so he's got the stuff. It's just a matter of him being able to command it and utilize it inside the strike zone.
Do you see any signs of encouragement or anything from Pache offensively that would make you believe that he's going to come out of this offensive funk he's been in?
You know, we evaluate that. There's obviously all the factors now that you can research in terms of data, so I can speak about one area of data that he's definitely doing, and that's his hard hit ball exit velocity. He's like top in the 85 percentile. So, you know, results aren't there, you know, from a pure numbers standpoint, but I think he's done a better job at not swinging outside the zone, and he's still hitting the baseball hard, just not getting results.
So bad luck?
There's some luck to it, I think. I mean, he drove a ball to center, he drove a ball to third. You know, there's still some positives to take away, and that's what we're gonna focus on.
Strike, confidence side. Strikeout rate is okay.
Yeah, I mean, they're young players, right? Yeah. So they're going to strike out. You know, we obviously as a team are focused on our approach, and that's reducing our strikeouts. So as a collective group, we need to do a better job with that.
Is Jed's average deceiving from that standpoint too, would you say, looking at the numbers and analytics?
Well, I think Jed's had the 10 days off kind of hurt Jed, you know, from a timing standpoint. I think he's getting his feet on the ground right now. And, you know, I think it's just too soon. I don't know if he's gotten 50, 60 at-bats in the year. So, you know, we'll wait on that.
It seems like he's hitting the tough luck to me.
Yeah, I mean, there has been some tough luck. The ball's in the right center in Detroit. We got caught. Yeah, some of the line drives that he's hit. Some of the balls that, you know, you look at exit velo and what StatCast says, because players do that. And, you know, sometimes those balls that get hit are 100% on the StatCast, and they should result in a hit. I saw one the other day that was a 27-degree launch angle with a 103 exit velo, and it was an out. And on StatCast, it's a 100% hit. So if we go by that, we can, you know, we can put extra hits on there.
Does StatCast know that everybody is shifting now?
Everybody's shifting. Yeah,
the StatCast has
the ball seems not to be traveling. So, but yeah.
Mark, with the way the first month or so has gone, you've experienced some highs and some lows. How important has it been for you, for yourself, keeping an even keel and expressing that, or having the team see Mark Cossey is the same guy day in and day out? How have you done with that?
I think I've done a good job in controlling the emotional side. Obviously, I, you know, don't take losing easily. And in terms of the preparation, the process, we talked about the process, stay with the process. I've been happy with all of that.
And you've been happy with being able to communicate every day, that you've had a routine that they can recognize that it is an everyday thing playing this game?
If I'm judging from myself, yes. If you're asking the players, you know, then I'd hope that they say yes. So I think I've been pretty consistent with my daily routines and preparation, communication overall for the first month.
Has Jimenez kind of been a savior as a closer, because maybe not the plans you came in the season with?
Right. I mean, obviously, there were some circumstances that put Danny in the back end. Danny's done an unbelievable job. He's, you know, definitely seized his opportunity. He's throwing the ball well. You know, as we talked about, there was a little bit of past history in Danny doing that at the AAA level and having a lot of success. So it's good to see him going out and continuing that, you know, from last year.
Zach Wong said the other day that a couple of people here have told him that
Rich Hill is pretty violent and different, you know, and I don't know, mechanically it'd probably be better for Scott to kind of define. I can't compare a 6'5 guy to a 6-foot guy and think that their mechanics align. I just don't know enough about pitching in detail, but I think, you know, what sticks out about Richie is the breaking ball, the big breaking ball, right? And I don't necessarily think Zach has that. but Zach has maybe some deception that Rich has.
Yeah. Is there anybody that he does maybe remind you? You were talking earlier just about how the breaking balls move in different ways.
Right.
Is there anybody that maybe he compares to for you?
We'll get back to you on that one.
Good. Thanks, guys.
All right, guys.